Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. I almost tongue twisted myself. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long. Just plain old Long. Just plain old
Long. Not the worst start I've ever had.
Long, the director that's actually trying to catch a monkey.
It has to be a one word title though, Matt.
Okay, it can't be
Long.
Like,
Long
the Explorer.
Long Kong.
Long
the big Long Kong.
Oh, dear God. Come on, man. You're Asian. Don't lie. No.
Whatever. You and the Irish curse.
Yeah.
Not Irish.
Potato poop. That's what it means. Like.
You guys are all like fucking white people.
Yeah, and you say stuff like, oh, laddie.
Well, it's good to see you guys.
Yes.
Virtually. Recording the podcast and making fun of each other.
Yes, as always.
Starting vacation. Long's jealous that you and me are on the vacation at the same time, Matt. So.
Yeah. You guys can have your little Greek oil wrestling fest together while
we still need to have our bro time here and do something one weekend eventually.
So. Well... Yeah.
Yes.
We hopefully will see each other soon and do a. I really want to try to get that live show in at Misfit Toys here. We only have about a month till Comicpalooza. So if we're going to do it, we got to do it the next few weeks. So got to reach out.
When is Comicpalooza again?
July 17th and 18th. So.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we can do it the weekend before. Who knows? Because obviously we're not going to do it July 4th weekend, but maybe the next weekend. See if we can do it, or even the end of June might be good. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah. So how are you guys? Good week. It's officially hot in Texas. Like, I didn't really notice it till this week. But this week, have some sweaty underwear.
Yeah, man. It's definitely going up in heat.
Yeah. There's no doubt. It's like that was a very loud noise upstairs. What the boys are doing, but yes, not you know, we say we're used to it in Texas, but no, once it gets hot, it's freaking hot, and that's what it is. And then we have to watch out for stupid things like hurricanes and people panicking because it comes close. So, it's good old summertime, that's for sure.
Yes,
that's all right.
Sweaty.
About what time is it? 9. Yeah, in about 16, 17 hours, I'll be sitting waterside drinking beer, so I won't complain about the heat.
Nice, man.
So it'll be cool. It'll be good. It'll be real. And Long will be sitting there going, damn it, I got to go to work Monday, motherfuckers.
Yep.
Look excited, Long.
I will be doing landscaping.
I'm tired.
Manscaping? What?
Landscaping, not manscaping.
Landscaping. Ew. What kind of a job are you doing?
No.
What is Matt doing this weekend? Damn, man. I mean, whatever floats your boat, brother.
I am not waxing someone's butthole or whatever those people do in those grooming shops.
Yeah.
No.
Sure. I mean, yeah, no, I agree. Self manscaping's okay, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Not manscaping someone else.
Yeah, like it's kind of weird to go to the shops, I would think. Like I don't think I feel...
The ball barber.
The ball barber.
Yeah.
I said that to both of y'all. That shit's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was.
totally going for the Fu Manchu.
The Fu Man.
All the way. Long's going for the comb over. On the top and bottom.
On the top end,
you guys are killing. Stop it!
We're all
stop it! Leave me alone! You're kicking me while I'm down.
You've done enough.
Just trying to get you involved there, Long.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
So, yeah, man, my week, it's been, I don't know, like last Sunday, wanted to have a big family dinner with sister, mom, dad, her husband. Haven't seen each other in over a year and a half. We finally sat down and had a, you know, a Korean barbecue type dinner.
Nice.
And, but man, my sister have adopted a new dog and parents went into a tizzy fit over it. And I'm like, why are y'all making such a big deal? She adopted a dog.
Well, he's, you know, a dog, man.
And then,
hey, what did the poor dog do?
Yeah. And then my dad, he's like the world's most gullible internet user, apparently, because it seems like every year he gets his money stolen from the bank account at least two or three times, it seems, a year, you know? And I always come in and try to clean it up. And he always has to change debit card numbers because he always gives it away to these scammers so easily, you know? Fucking freaking boomers, man. Where
is it like one of those... you know, your social, you know, where they post on Facebook, like, you know, your social security number equals how awesome you are. Yeah, you know,
he got an email saying that he was going to get invoiced for like $300, and then please call this number. My dad calls the number, verifies the credit account that they had on file by giving them his debit card. They took all his money out, and then that's just one thing this week that happened to him. Second, he got $6,000 taken out of his Discover card.
Oh, no. Mm-mm. From a separate thing that he...
Oh, shit.
Man.
Ah, shit. Somehow I muted Long. Tell Long to hit the unmute button on his.
Hit the unmute button, Long. Long. Unmute.
I got it.
Okay. There we go. I don't know. Right. I clicked the wrong thing. It was my fault.
Oh.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, he got gypped $6,000 from his credit card. Got gypped hundreds of dollars from his banking account. Mm-mm. And then third, this is all in the span of 5 days. I'm sitting there trying to relax after dealing with the computer stuff, cleaning it up. He comes in, it's like, I got this bill from Hamilton Collections that I'm going to get billed. I thought I signed up for something for free, you know, but I thought I was going to get this Budweiser model car for free. It's like, oh my gosh.
No.
And it's like, so I called the number, but it was out of office hours. It's like, call this number, deal with it. You signed up for it. I'm not going to clean it up. So I sat there, trying to relax again. He comes in and starts waving in. Hey, what do you think of this $40,000 sweepstakes? You think I should go for it? I told him, tear it up. Tear it up. I don't care anymore. Tear it up. He's like, wow. You already got your money stolen. You've already got, you know, oh my gosh. I was like, I can't deal with this, you know. You know, on top of that, doing other people's jobs at my work, you know, just stressed out.
Yeah. Well,
man,
it's a good thing Matt owns guns
for the zombies.
I'm not sure that has to do anything. Just drink your beer, Long, and relax.
Relax.
Let's move. Drinking on. My beer.
Let's move on to download this where we tell people what we watch streamed.
I want to inspect your gun barrels by looking at them directly in the barrel and make sure it's all correct. And I need to see if I can pull the trigger correctly too. Make sure it works.
They're fine.
This is a mostly family show.
Okay, I got you. Nice.
And
Mark, that's a nice thick rope you got behind you. Can I tie it into a noose so I could hang from the silly?
Hey, Long, look, Godzilla.
The Godzilla. Behind you.
Okay.
I ain't going to lie. I don't think I watched shit this week. I've been busy trying to get ready to go out of town. And I meant to watch Loki. I didn't get a chance to. I feel like I had something on one day I was kind of watching, but I guess nothing really sticks out of my mind that I tried to watch this week. But when I get back from out of town, I'm going to get some stuff watched. I'm going to get Loki watched. Episode 2 will be out by then, and a couple other things I wanted to check out. But so you guys, what did you watch this week or check out?
Loki. That's all I had a chance to watch. Okay. And I think I played a couple of video games, but nothing new. Yeah.
Y'all can talk Loki. I'm not worried about spoilers. I mean, I'll watch it eventually. It's the first episode. I mean, you're not going to spoil that much for me.
No, the first episode is a very strong start.
Yeah.
They got rid of, I mean, they went through some issues that had to be taken care of. And since this is like the Loki from the end of Avengers and not the Loki that we grew to see develop, you know, at the end of Thor Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's, I like it a lot. I've been very impressed with it, and really out of the Marvel shows that have interesting starts, this one was the most solid, the most the most funniest, and the most I guess emotional.
kind of at the end, and then just kind of like just that realization that the Infinity Stones aren't that powerful where he is right now.
Yeah.
That's a nice little twist. They're like, you have all these
Infinity Stones. Oh, we use these as paperweights.
Yeah, we use them as paperweights.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to see how it unravels.
That's the one and only spoiler. Mark, get on the horn.
Yeah, man.
As soon as you settle down.
Is it
Wilson's good, too.
Oh, Wilson was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except his crooked nose keeps distracting me.
Dude, I thought it was less crooked, I thought, like years ago when he did Wedding Crashers. It looks more crooked. It's turning now.
It's about like, an hour, like Falcon Winter Soldier.
40 minutes,
I think? 50, yeah, 45
minutes. I think it's only 6 episodes also, if I remember right. So, yeah.
Well, it's the best one so far as a start.
So. Yeah.
It's pretty high praises for it. So cool.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed with WandaVision start. Yeah. And I did like the action in the first episode of Falcon.
Both of those shows took a bit to get going, I will say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I ended up liking them in the end, but they took a bit to get going.
Yeah, I didn't care for the whole Flag Smasher thing in Falcon and Winter Soldier. And I didn't really, I don't know. Kind of left a bad taste in my mouth a little bit for WandaVision.
Right. Well, I mean, the whole point in Falcon Winter Soldier was just simply the passing of the shield. And the way they took to get to there just wasn't all that interesting, like you said. I mean, no one cared about these Flag Smashers. It's a been there, done that kind of storyline. But it was all about Sam and Bucky and their relationship and getting to that point. It just took a long way to get there. And the payoff was nice. That last episode was fantastic. But that was the biggest problem of that show, was basically 5 episodes of shit you didn't care about. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just be honest. We kind of praise it as we were watching it, but you really look back on Falcon Winter Soldier, and really, that's what it was. 5 episodes that you didn't give a fuck about, then the last episode is what you really cared about, you know?
Mm-hmm. See, my biggest issue with Sam, and I really like Sam overall as a character. I like what he stands for, but, the big but, like, he's always one of open his arms for traumatized soldiers and victims of war, you know. But when it comes to Bucky, who's like the number one example of everything that Sam cares for, and he treats him like trash, you know, I'm like, okay, that's like a big contradiction there. Sam, like, you have these, you know, group meetings, these group therapies with all these veterans and PTSD folks, and Rick and the Winter Soldier had the worst of it all, and he had no control over it. Well, and then Sam treats him like shit.
And my thinking, you know,
throughout
too,
the whole series.
My thinking too is, thinking back to the films, like, they had a casual relationship, but where did they ever have a relationship that we were supposed to buy into, that they were like good buddies? You know, it just sort of shows up in Falcon Winter Soldier, like, oh, Bucky and Sam are good buddies just because they were buddies with Steve and they lost Steve. So I thought they had to try to sell that, you know, and, And like you said, they did it by making them like fight a lot and Bucky, Sam not really being there for Bucky like he was for all the other soldiers. So I think that made it kind of awkward too.
Yeah. Just like again, the Flag Smasher chick. He's like, he practically says, "You're my sister now. Let me love you."
Right.
He turns over to Bucky. "You're shit to me." You know? It's like, but the guy saved your life. He's like, what's going on?
Right.
But whatever. That's my only contradiction of character I didn't like. Or inconsistent character portrayal.
It's good to know that Loki starts out strong because I'm looking forward to watch it. I've always liked Tom Hiddleston as that character, so it should be fun to watch. Because, I mean, this is pretty much it until the fall, I believe. I think they're doing the What If cartoon in between this and the next series, which is either, I guess, going to be Ms. Marvel sometime in October, and Hawkeye. I think Hawkeye and Ms. Marvel are both going to be in the fall. So a couple more coming before the end of the year. But, yeah, that's it. Huh? Anything else? Yo, Matt, are you watching anything interesting?
Yeah. I watched Spiral last night with Jackie.
Spent $20 to watch that crap?
Yeah. I split it with my sister. my sister watched it after I did, but it's Chris Rock and Samuel Jackson. You've got a Saw copycat, and I actually liked it. I want to say after I watched Saw 3 and 4, and it was just getting kind of ridiculous to me, and I kind of
they're all ridiculous. Yeah, I
think, the first two are okay. The first two are solid. You know what it's based off of, right?
They're all right. I don't really think they were that great.
The guy, it's based off of that guy that got sent to the bank with the explosives wrapped around his face. And he had a note, saying where to leave it. And if he didn't do it by a certain time, his head would blow up. And the cops, of course, apprehended him. And they, backed off and kind of held him there, until they could figure out what was going on. I guess they ran out of time and it blew up. And that's where they got it from, but it's good. I don't know if it's worth the $20 good. I would wait until you can rent it.
It's not real well reviewed, so
I like Chris Rock in the role. I feel like there's it got better towards the end, but horror is, I feel like, it's like pizza, it's all good, some are better than others. some are better than others, but with the
pizza's way better than horror.
Yeah, pizza's way better than horror. Depends on my mood for sure. Maybe wait till it goes for rental.
He didn't get enough sleep, did he, Long?
Maybe. My sleep schedule is so jacked up. I've been tired like 5 times today and just laid down for naps. But hopefully after today I can get a rhythm going. Speaking of horror, I did play some more Resident Evil 7. I beat the mother. Now I'm on to the son, but I haven't played much because the kids are home. And wife is like, don't play that during the day. They can't see that stuff. So I'm stuck. And I watched
your Jackie voice.
Yeah, it's my Jackie voice.
And the B-boy, don't you play that during the day.
She calls him by his middle name, Matthew Curtis. I told you.
Matthew Curtis. She does that every once in a while. Not for that, but yeah. She usually doesn't have to. And then I watched Life After Birth. It's a movie with Aubrey Plaza. It's a forgettable horror comedy where the guy, the guy who played
forgot what it was called. That's how forgettable it was.
Yeah. Watched it because of Aubrey Plaza. She dies, and then she comes back to life, but she's like a zombie, and she wants to eat people, and and the boyfriend's trying to deal with it, but she's trying to eat her friends and stuff. So it's free on Vudu if you want to watch it. That one's free.
Speaking of streaming sites, I canceled my Netflix account today because I wasn't using it at all.
Wow.
I mean, I haven't watched any Netflix programming in 3 months, and I feel like I'm wasting my money on it, So But I'm still watching stuff on HBO Max and Disney Plus. Yeah. So I'm still getting my money's worth. And some of the B movie skin flicks on Amazon Prime.
B movie skin flicks.
Yeah. Hey, I remember this on Cinemax.
The Anyways. Old Skinemax.
Storm swept. No.
For a while I had the wavy lines and I had to see what the what a boob was with those wavy lines of different colors, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, like those locked out porn channels or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, but you can get like some distorted figures, you oh, kind of right. see, you know.
Oh, wait. I think I see something.
Yeah. Oh, I think I see a nipple. Oh, sad. I was 13, man. This is what I got.
Anyways.
On that note, before the show completely derails, let's get to today's featured film.
I don't know. I thought we were on a roll with my suicide joke.
I mean, a movie that is 88 years old this year. Definitely the oldest movie we've covered on the show, and but that's okay because this is quite a phenomenal film considering that it came out in 1933, and that is the original creature feature, King Kong. Basically, I guess I'll summarize. I haven't summarized in a while. It's a pretty basic story. You have a filmmaker who's looking for the next great thing to film, and he hears stories about this island that has mysterious things going on. So he takes a film crew there with a beautiful girl named Andaro, played by Faye Ray, and he wants to shoot her and capture something magical for his film. And he's known for nature films and that sort. And he discovers that these natives worship this giant beast, and they give the beast sacrifices to keep him happy so that the beast doesn't hurt them. And the beast happens to be the great ape they call Kong. And Kong ends up capturing Andaro and being somewhat protective of her as he fights off evil beasts to save her. And they rescue Anne, but that pisses Kong off. So he comes after them, and they decide to capture Kong and bring him back to show him off to the world and make millions of dollars because the filmmaker is quite greedy, and that's all he is concerned about is money. And it ends, of course, in one of the most famous movie scenes of all time as King Kong is on the Empire State Building fighting, being shot at by airplanes, and they kill Kong ultimately, and that's how the movie ends. first off, it's been a few years since I've watched this, and wow, I didn't realize how womanist, like how male chauvinist this movie is at the very beginning.
It really is.
It's like, geez, they give every reason in the world why we should have a woman on board the ship. It's just like, okay.
She's like, I don't want to be a bother. Oh, it's in your nature to be one.
Yeah. Oh, man. The guy who plays, what's the name of that? The rescuer?
The captain?
No, the young guy.
Yeah, I can't think. Denham is the director. I know that.
Denham is the director.
Yeah.
But the guy, the lead actor, he's a terrible actor, man. Mm-hmm. He's so wooden and somewhat not very charismatic
right.
at all.
And a lot of the acting in this is kind of like that. I feel they shot
Denham
a lot.
Was the best.
Denham was the best. And Faye Ray does fine with her part.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of screaming. But I feel like, I mean, this is 1933, and I think that's what makes this movie so phenomenal is that they were able to shoot this and make – I mean, you imagine thousands of footage of film. They had to edit together, do the special effects, and put together a coherent story. And I feel like they shot a lot of it probably in one or two takes because, I mean, I imagine the budget was limited. But yet the movie made $90,000 its opening weekend, which is a lot of money in 1933.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being a child or a young boy at that age and seeing this on the big screen? I mean, it would have blown you away because this is Depression era. They never seen anything like this. You see this on the big screen, and there's some really, really great stuff in this that makes up for some of the really bad acting in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
The special effects for 1933 are incredible, the way they pulled it off. And still remarkably hold up for an 88-year-old movie because you have to forgive it for its age. And that was my first thought on this was like, and that's what plays in our top five later. It's like, I can't imagine experiencing this for the first time on the big screen when you're a young kid back then in the 1930s. And, it would have been quite shocking. The movie's ultra violent. It's not violent by today's standards as far as blood, but geez, Kong is eating people. He's stepping on people. He's throwing people off buildings.
Yeah.
You know? And not just men, women too. He chumps a lady out the window because she's not Andoro. It's like, well, bye. It's just like, holy shit. The movie had to be severely edited for that reason because the censors even back then were like, whoa, you got to take some of this stuff out. But the version we have now is the full uncut version. You know, back then there were some scenes that were taken out of the movie, like where he's peeling off Anne's dress. That was taken out of the original film. The serpent scene was trimmed a little bit in the original version. They didn't like Kong beating the serpent. So strange things like that they added back into the film that they didn't like back when the movie originally came out. So.
Yeah, and don't forget this famous lost spider sequence. Mm-hmm.
Which we, which Peter Jackson brought to life in his version. But yeah. And they've never been able to find what happened to that. But they know it existed, you know, somewhere.
Yeah, and that wasn't done by the censors. It was actually done by the director before it was even considered for the, you know, public viewing.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Matt, you had seen this before? I mean, or is this, this is the first time view for you?
I saw the 75 one. The
75 one was very... When in the time you were growing up, you would have probably seen the 76 version a lot on TV. They used to air that damn thing all the time. And it's not bad. But it doesn't have the charm this one has.
Except for Charles Grodin.
Yeah. So your thoughts, man, watching this for the first time for a movie that's 88 years old.
I think the pacing is good. I think that's what makes this thing, you know, obviously other than the stop motion and the special effects, I think this complements that because it keeps everything rolling and it keeps you engaged. I think a lot of these old black and white movies, they have this tendency to be long and drawn out, and they want this long drawn out physical acted scenes, and you know, sometimes it doesn't translate, you know, well to today's era, but I felt like the pacing was really good for this one. And you know, you get to Kong and the tribe pretty quickly, and you know, it just takes off from there. You're in the city. Beauty killed the beast, you know. I think Faye is great. For the time, you know, the stop motion looks pretty good. Kong, you know, I feel like he smiles a lot. He doesn't look terrifying to me a lot, but you know, it's a part of the times. I enjoyed it. The fight with the T-Rex, probably my favorite part.
Right. Put yourself in 1933 and see that big screen. Kong is going to be terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
It's not terrifying by our standards because we've seen it all nowadays. But back then, that probably audiences probably were terrified by the looks of it.
Probably.
Yeah, and I don't think they've ever watched stop motion done on that scale either.
All done by hand, too. They used hand puppets and they moved it all around. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, full of character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stop motion was full of character. You know, Kong could be just like scratching his nose. They didn't have to animate that, but they just, you know, have him doing that, and they would have a little miniature little miniature screen that would show Andaro reacting while the stop motion thing was happening in the foreground. Like Kong fighting the snake in his cave, and then you see Anne moving smoothly, you know, reacting to everything.
Yeah.
You know, little things like that. You know, it's just to me, that's astounding how ahead of its time it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's art for the time, the way they were put into it. And I was watching really closely, and you would think they would save money by using like stock footage, like they would shoot it one way, use that scene again, but they don't. I mean, Kong looks different every time he appears on screen, the way they animate it. And it's a phenomenal job for the time. So, you know, now you just sit down at a computer and you do it. I mean, these are guys, the special effects artists, that literally had to use their hands and use the tools they had in front of them to build this creature on screen. And not just King Kong. I mean, there's multiple creatures in this movie. So, you know, it's
Stegosaurus.
Pretty phenomenal for the 1930s.
Yeah. The scene where they were chasing after Kong and they were on the river, and then they went through the trouble of animating the not animated, but I think it was a hand puppet at first for the Brontosaurus. Yeah. You know, and it's just one thing after another. The men managed to escape on land, and then the Brontosaurus is chasing this one dude who climbed up the tree, and and they show the Brontosaurus biting the man. You see the little puppet thing screaming in his mouth.
And that's the funny thing. A lot of the screams in post-production are the same screams over and over again. It's like, you know, they only shot them one way and they just used the sound effects.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So the screams sound consistent throughout the movie. And they use a combination of like a lion and a dog or something to make Kong's roar, which was interesting. You know, it's a funny thing. I finished it today. I started last night and got home today and finished it. And the airplane thing at the end, it's like, there's no military in this movie. He's just like, hey, what if we had some airplanes? And the police officer's like, yeah, we got airplanes. And so they just have access to these airplanes and weapons on them all of a sudden. I was like, what?
Friggin' World War One airplane.
I know, right?
Aircraft.
Yeah, we just got airplanes on the outskirts of New York City. Sure.
Yeah,
but it was a storytelling technique, like you said, to make the movie quickly paced, and it is for an hour and 40 minutes. It moves very quickly. It never gets boring. It's a very interesting movie with an interesting story, and you know, by now everyone knows the story of King Kong. It's become a classic story in our mythologies of science fiction and stuff. Everyone knows the story. The movie's been remade in 1976 and most recently by Peter Jackson, and then we had the new King Kong in Kong Skull Island and Godzilla vs. Kong. We had a nod to this movie in Ready Player One, where Kong appears from the airplane from the train tracks and tries to take out Parsifal in the movie. So, you know,
and Space Jam.
So, you know,
new Space Jam. I mean,
yeah. So, you know, so King Kong is embedded into our pop culture, and it's because of this movie in 1933 when this first hit. And it's an all-time classic, and I think it's and it had some sequels made to it. There was Son of Kong, and then there was another like Kong Chia or something like that. I probably butchered that name. Then of course Kong fought Godzilla back in the 60s, original Kong versus Godzilla. So you know he's become a part of our culture, and it's because of this film that it exists. And this film is highly influential to a lot of movie directors today. You know, Ray Harryhausen was a huge fan of this film, obviously using stop motion effects in all of his movies that he did. And
became the protege to Willis O'Brien.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but just a cool film, man. I really enjoyed rewatching this. It'd been some time since I'd seen it. I forgot how, male chauvinistic was. I had forgotten some of that. You know, I guess it's more noticeable now in the current Me Too movements and things like that of the world. So you tend to notice those things a little bit more. But it, you know, it's a product of its time. And
no, I mean, I recognized it even in the 90s.
Did you? Yeah, I guess I just didn't pay attention. You know,
because you were chauvinistic back then.
Probably, you know.
they even added some of those elements in the 2005 Peter Jackson film when that the main character, the male lead character for the movie they're shooting, says that he's not supposed to show any concern for the woman until her life's in danger. And then that's whenever he shows it. So that's kind of, you know, an old school, like 1950s kind of
thing. I saw the Peter Jackson one once when I saw it in theaters, and I never watched it again. It was just, it was okay. It was just too long and dragged out.
Yeah. You
know? It's best parts were at Skull Island.
Yeah,
the Skull Island parts. That Jack Black walking around. Yeah. I don't know if he was the best one for that role.
I don't remember having a problem with any of the roles in the film. It was just too long, you know. But we know Peter Jackson can be a pretentious director with long films. I mean, you know, it's just, it is what it is, I guess.
Pretentious or just very perfectionist, you know?
Maybe so. Yeah.
Because I, you know, watching those Lord of the Rings documentaries, he doesn't do, I mean, he does dozens and dozens of takes sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like, geez.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, the rumors that there are 5-hour versions of each Lord of the Rings movies, I actually believe it. And one day, maybe he'll release them. Because, I mean, the actors have talked about before, Viggo Mortensen, all of them, and we'll talk more about this when we eventually do Lord of the Rings, but they've all talked about, like, there's a lot more stuff they remember shooting, and they never have seen it on film. So, who knows? Well, we'll get one day. So. But we're talking 1933 King Kong, and it's just, this was a good fun movie to watch. I love watching these old movies, and I give this, you know, I think this is a solid A. I mean, you know, it would be easier to rate it lower, but you got to look at the time this came out, just the phenomenon of it. You know, it saved RKO. It's credit for saving RKO Pictures from going under. It was a huge box office hit that in the Depression era of the 1930s. People were drawn to the theaters to go see this, and it is believed to be hold the record for being the most re-released film of all time. They don't actually track it, but they believe that this movie holds the record because it was constantly released in theaters into the 1950s and 60s. You know, because this is the times before home video and stuff. So,
I think it's an A. It's context matters, and the context is 1933. And this was a sight to see. There was only like little small films, which is where the animator that they got for this stop animation was discovered through those little small films where dinosaurs. Whoops.
Mic drop
there. Yep. A mic drop.
I'm glad you enjoyed watching it, Matt. Because sometimes people react differently to older films, and you're usually pretty open to checking out stuff you haven't seen before.
Oh yeah, yeah. I won't knock it till I try it.
Long. Yeah. What do you rate it?
I rate it an A. Honestly, credit given where credit's due. If it weren't for King Kong, it wouldn't have inspired some of the original creators of the Godzilla movies, you know, because they really love this movie too, and they didn't want to do the whole monkey thing because they were afraid of getting sued by RKO. So they created their own creature feature. They wanted to do stop motion, but found out it was too expensive, too time consuming, so they came up with the whole suitmation thing. But yeah, I give it an A.
Yeah, I couldn't find any budget information on this film. I kind of looked, but I know it's more than made its money back. But I mean, $90,000 opening weekend. That's a lot of money in 1933. It's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
In 1933.
You know? I mean, you imagine that's by inflation, that's got to be, if it did $90,000, that's got to be a $150 million opening weekend by today's standards, if not more. You know, so that's pretty phenomenal. You know,
it would be
good stuff.
It'd be $1 million. Oh, wait, sir. Sorry. We have $1 million. $1,900,000 basically.
If it's only a 1.9 million opening weekend, seems like it'd be more than that.
Well, the thing with the theater system back then was that they didn't release movies all at once.
No, and only major cities had movie theaters.
Right. Yeah. So, like, one city would get the movie, while another one would get it like 6 weeks later, so it wasn't a very consistent release.
That's true.
The first movie to have like simultaneous release was Jaws.
Yeah,
you know, and but before then it was just, well, whichever theater wanted to give the movie a try, they did it, you know. So yeah, and they sometimes did it by word of mouth between other theater owners as well. And these are single theater settings, not multiplexes like we have today. So
right, one screen at a time.
Yeah,
but you know, that that leads us to our top five. And you know, I talked earlier about how, imagine being a child or in your teens and watching this for the first time, and just being blown away on the big screen. And we've had that opportunity with some films we've seen in our time, with, you know, Jurassic Park and and some of these Marvel films, seeing our heroes come to life. But we thought we'd talk five films that we would love to experience again for the first time, and knowing nothing going in. So who wants to start this one?
I'll start this week. Let's see. The first time I remember getting, just had a very fun experience and just walking out of the theater feeling really good about it was actually my number five is Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
Oh, nice.
Starring Jason Scott Lee.
Mm-hmm.
I remember me and my friend, we rode our bikes to the theater and didn't really know what to expect. So I was just blown away. They did a really good job with the fight choreography, the music, and just some of the fight scenes were just like, oh man, that's pretty cool. stuff like that. But that's my number five, the Dragon Bruce Lee story.
That's a good one, man. When the ice blocks keep coming to him and he keeps breaking the ice blocks, shattering him. And then the brother of that guy he messed up, he's like, my brother can't talk right, can't walk right. And then he comes back for revenge in his Jeet Kune Do seminar. Yeah, that's such a good movie, man.
Yeah.
For me, it's Ninja Turtles. I never saw it in theaters. I saw it on home video. I'd like the chance to see it fresh in theaters for the first time.
My number five is kind of a tie. And I did see one of these in theaters in 1989. I remember standing in line waiting to see Batman. And being completely blown away by it. An experience Batman for the first time. I would love to do that again. It's the film that made me. I watched the Adam West movie or TV show growing up, but I wouldn't say I was a hardcore Batman fan until I saw Michael Keaton as Batman, and that's what made me really love the character. And that goes hand in hand with Christopher Reeve's Superman. So I have a tie for those two at number five. And to experience Superman for the first time without knowing anything, I think would be a cool experience on the big screen. But definitely Batman, Superman at number five.
I wish I saw Batman in the theaters.
Yeah. I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember standing in line probably a couple hours waiting to get in to see it. I was about 13 years old. I remember standing there with my dad waiting to see it. It was worth it every second.
Man. Bat Dance. Which,
they're already number four?
Mm-hmm.
Number four, The Matrix. Yeah, I walked into this theater blind, didn't know what to expect, and I was like, wow, that was a pretty damn cool movie. The CGI, the cyberpunk aesthetic to it, the freaking metal 3D CGI squids, and the concept of whether we're living in that actual reality or not. Yeah, The Matrix, for sure. Blown away by it.
The first hostage, big hostage, like takeover, terrorist building where they threaten to blow something up, man, Die Hard. For me, it's Die Hard, experiencing that again. And then, of course, we got Die Hard on a bus, Die Hard on a boat, Die Hard on a skyscraper afterwards. So, big influential film. It's my pick for number four.
Wait, you saw this in the theater?
No, I didn't. I'd want to. Because it was 88, so I would have been 2 years old. So I would have loved the chance to see this in the theater.
I didn't see the first. I saw the first one on home video. The second one was probably the first rated R movie I ever saw in theaters. I remember my dad took me to see the second one.
Yeah.
And I know that was the first rated R movie I ever saw in theaters. At number four, man, this is a movie that I would like to just see this on the big screen. Period. Not just experience for the first time, but that's James Cameron's Aliens. I would love to catch a retro cinema viewing of this just to see Aliens on the big screen. Cause I was 10 when it came out. So I know I've never seen it on the big screen, and I would love to see it blown up to full, 360 feet or ever a big movie theater screen and just see Aliens on the big screen. But to experience it the first time ever, I think would be pretty phenomenal to watch it again.
Cool.
Nice.
My number three, is actually Avengers Endgame. I really enjoyed that experience. It's a very recent movie, but I didn't really know what to expect. They did a really good job of keeping spoilers. And they, for once, released this movie and Infinity War the same week as every other part of the world. So we didn't have to wait till the second week of release to watch the last two Avengers movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I remember walking out of the movies pretty stoked. Some of the big moments, like Captain America with the hammer, Thor's hammer. You know, it's just, yeah, one thing after another with this film. And I really like it. I like it a lot.
A lot.
That's a movie that I wanted to see again for the first time.
I would agree with you on that one, too. Long, my number three is your number four. It's The Matrix. I remember seeing this in theaters, and I went with my cousin because my aunt didn't care, you know, if it was, you know, what rating the movie was. My parents were a little bit more cautious. But,
yeah,
man, just seeing this in theaters and just seeing, you know, Neo, Keanu Reeves go toe-to-toe, you know, with Morpheus. Yeah, and Agent Smith. Yeah. Those two fights. I mean, even seeing him struggle, those were good battles. Just seeing him, you know, become the one, and just the cool ass effects. You know, just blown away, man. And I thought Trinity was smoking. You know, at that age. Yeah.
Number three, I might be disappointed if Long doesn't have this one in his list. But I mean, how could you not want to experience Jaws for the first time ever again? I mean, you know. One of the greatest.
I thought it's movies we've seen already that we want to see for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Gotcha. Like, how could you not want to experience Jaws again for the first time ever?
It's tough, man. There's a lot of things on this list. Like, y'all started mentioning stuff, and I'm like, man, you know, I could have had that on there. It's tough.
I mean, just the suspense of Jaws from the opening sequence to them discovering what's going on the island, and just the fight at the end to take him out. I mean, just watching all that for the first time again would have to be pretty incredible.
Yeah. My number two is probably won't surprise anyone, Interstellar, but in IMAX.
Really?
Yeah, I really like this movie. No, it's for me. I don't care. It's my list.
I think it's Nolan's most boring film. But okay, well, maybe not his most boring. Insomnia is probably more boring.
Seeing this on IMAX, and I'm also a big fan of you know, space as well. Anything with NASA or SpaceX, I keep up with all that stuff. And I don't know, the way it was filmed, it's filmed in a realistic manner, just like they do with the space shuttle video missions, and the pipe organs going on in the background on IMAX Atmos speakers, Dolby Atmos. It was quite an experience watching this movie in that large format. So number two is Interstellar.
Nice. Number two for me is another movie that I had to wait because I was too young, or I don't know. It was 84, I think, when this came out. Or no, I think Ghostbusters was 84. Yeah, so it was Ghostbusters. I had to wait to see this on home video, and man, I would have loved the chance to see this, you know, just, you know, have it wiped and then see it for the first time in theaters. You know, the rotoscoping, the comedy, I think it's a great film. It still holds up today.
At number two, I have Raiders of the Lost Ark. I mean,
good one.
One of my favorite action adventure movies of all time. I actually have seen this on the big screen. I went to like a while back, 25th anniversary screen or something a few years ago, and I saw it on the big screen. But I'd like to be able to experience for the first time the experience of seeing the movie unfold and everything happening in it. And, just going down that journey with Indiana Jones again for the first time ever, I think it would be a lot of fun. Because I still think it's the greatest action film ever made.
Cool. Yeah, the... Yeah, that's definitely an experience.
Mm-hmm.
For me, and I mentioned this in our Temple of Doom episode, I definitely remember seeing this in the theaters as well, the Temple of Doom. But I didn't know there was a Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, growing up as a kid. Because I thought Temple of Doom was the first Indiana Jones movie. Technically, it's a prequel, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my number one is Jurassic Park. And, man, growing up in 1993, I was totally blown away. It's like the first movie I ever watched multiple times in the theaters. And, you know, it still holds up today. A little bit, but CGI is so easily dated, you know. And but yeah, this is definitely one of those movies that growing up left quite the impression on me. I actually had me go read the novel as well, so.
Which is quite different than the movie.
Very different. Yeah, I was like, huh? What?
Like the seat? What? If I remember correctly. There's a sequence of the book where they're like running across this endless field, it feels like in the book, and these dinosaurs are chasing them. And I think one of the characters in the book gets eaten during that sequence. And I'm sitting there, I remember watching the film and going, where's the run sequence? You know, it's like,
yeah, they put a bunch of, you know, scenes that didn't show up in the first movie in part two and part three. Yeah. Like the running through the field thing showed up in part two.
Yeah, or the flying dinosaurs don't show up till the third one. Yeah.
Yeah, and the riverboat scene. Yeah.
I bet I can predict Matt's number one.
Yeah.
Terminator 2.
Oh, shit.
Of course. Of course.
It's either going to be that or Commando.
No, Commando. I feel like Commando...
Or at least you didn't pick Last Action Hero. Good Lord.
No, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have wasted an Arnold.
Me along might fire you from the show if you picked that.
No. Last Action Terminator Hero is probably my top Terminator, five.
Don't go on about Last Action. Yeah. There's no way it's in your top five Arnold movies.
Yeah, man. It's number five. It's fun. Hamlets.
There's four way better Arnold movies than that one. But anyway, Terminator 2.
Terminator 2. Enough said.
Terminator 2, True Lies, Total Recall, all those are better.
Is Kindergarten Cop better?
Kindergarten Cop's better than The Last Action Hero.
Could be.
So,
Total Recall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good movie.
I mean, my number one's pretty predictable, too. I just have to give Matt a hard time. I mean, it's fucking Star Wars. I mean... Imagine sitting in the theater, first time ever experiencing the Star Destroyer going over your head in the opening sequence and witnessing Darth Vader threaten Princess Leia and these droids and just everything that happens in the first 5 minutes of that film as a kid would just, you know, blow your fucking mind. And that's why Star Wars was the phenomenon it is. I mean, it was unlike anything anyone had ever seen before. Obviously, it's a pop culture staple for millions of people around the world. And it's become what it is today. One of the biggest IPs ever produced, thanks to George Lucas. And I would love to see Star Wars for the first time ever again. So.
Good one.
Yeah, because my list was good. Y'all's is okay.
Y'all's is okay.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize it was a competition.
It's not. I'm just saying it was. So let's do some news. Before we preview next week's film and get out of here, we got a trailer this week for the He-Man or the Masters of the Universe Revelations Netflix show, coming from Kevin Smith and his writing crew. And man, I think it looks fucking cool. Honestly, when I first heard Kevin Smith was doing He-Man, I was kind of like, I was keeping an open mind. But now that we actually got footage of it, I think it looks really good. I mean, it looks like they're going to throw all kinds of characters in there. That was my biggest thing with He-Man. He had all these fucking toys, right? But then you would watch the show and none of these characters ever appeared. It was only like five or six of them, but it looks like they're gonna throw everybody in there, you know, from the looks of it. And I thought it looked cool. I thought the We Need a Hero song was perfect for the trailer. I don't know. I'm much more pumped for this than I was before. And it's coming July 23rd on Netflix, but Long just fucking cancels Netflix. So he can't watch He-Man.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But, oh, well. I've already grown up. I've grown past He-Man when I was 8 years old.
We never grow up past He-Man because we all want to be He-Man, okay?
And right.
The third chapter of the Transformers is coming, too, in July. Where they're going to bring the Beast Wars in there. So even though I need to watch Chapter 2 still. But I think He-Man looks cool. Matt, any thoughts on He-Man from you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I watched I watched She-Ra. I did watch some of the old
Matt, things. just say I grew up on Ninja Turtles, He-Man's
Lane. Did you watch the trailer?
I did watch the trailer.
That's what we're talking about. We're not asking if you watched She-Ra. We're asking your thoughts on the
Yeah, the trailer was awesome, man. The teaser was awesome.
Yeah.
And the themes, the music was spot on, man. I just wish they would have played the Shrek version.
How about Mark Hamill at Skeletor?
That was
pretty cool.
The cast was first released. I was hyped already, you know, but it's cool hearing
it. Yeah, Hamill at Skeletor is pretty cool. We have a title for the second Aquaman film, Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. As Jason Momoa has been doing some press, I guess, for his Netflix show. No, it's Amazon Prime show he has, I guess. And he dropped some, him and James Wan, I guess, dropped some things about Aquaman recently. Apparently it starts filming here pretty soon because it's a 2023 release. So we'll see what that means.
Let's see if they'll stick to it.
Yeah. Forrest Whitaker announced he's coming back to Star Wars. He's going to play Saw Gerrera in the Cassian Andor Rogue One prequel series that's coming to Disney Plus.
Oh, good.
Lies!
Yeah. Deception. you know, my biggest thing with Rogue One was Forrest Whitaker. It's just like, this is weird. Forrest Whitaker's in a Star Wars movie. But it's cool, though, you know?
Yeah.
He's such an underrated good actor, man, you know? And he's one of Hollywood's good guys, man. I've heard, you know, you hear stories about actors and stuff, and you hear nothing but good things about Forrest Whitaker. Just saying, he's just a super cool guy. So, so that's cool that he's coming back. I've actually, you know, this feels like the underdog of the Star Wars shows that's coming. But you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it's pretty good. You know, because Diego Luna is really into it. He really likes Star Wars, and so does Forrest Whitaker. So. I think it's going to have more going for it than people think it does. Even though it doesn't feel as interesting, I think it could turn out pretty good.
I know how his story ends.
Really true. But especially like the opening of Rogue One, man, where he's down in the underground and he's watching out for the stormtroopers. If they could do the whole series like that, like underground type stuff, I think it'd be pretty cool. You know? So right. We'll see. And lastly, man, I guess this is ordered by Amazon. A Lord of the Rings anime is being fast-tracked. Don't know what it's about, but it seems like with Amazon's Lord of the Rings TV series coming, they're going to try to cash grab everything they can from that. So we'll see.
Nice.
Did you see the Ghostbusters vignette?
The Ghostbusters what?
Vignette?
Nuh-uh.
I guess it's a low, you know, that other one with the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
Oh, yeah.
They did another one, but it involves a proton pack.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it came out yesterday, I believe.
Oh, the promo commercial?
Oh, was it a commercial? Okay.
Where they're like a bunch of tiny little marshmallow Stay Puft?
Well, that's the one we were talking about. That was the other one, yeah. Along with saying there was another one.
Yeah, there's another one.
And lastly, that reminds me, did y'all get a chance to see the Netflix behind the scenes of the Sandman they released?
No.
With Neil Gaiman and the actors talking it up, you know, Gwendolyn Christie's going to be in it. That looks pretty cool, man. It seems like Neil Gaiman's real hands-on with his creation being brought to the big screen. And very, very popular comic book series. Yeah, I've only read the first volume. Sandman's definitely something I'd like to read the complete thing because I've heard nothing but good things about it. So hopefully Netflix does that justice and they bring the Sandman to life on the big screen or on the small screen in this case and do a good job with it. So we'll see. Well, that's all the news this week. So next week, we go complete opposites of King Kong to a ultra-violent film from 1987, and Matt's favorite actor is in this, of course, and that is Arnold Schwarzenegger, as we talk Predator next week on the show.
We are rescue team, not assassins. Now, what do we gotta do?
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
We pick up their trail at the chopper, run them down, grab those hostages before anybody knows we were there. What do you mean we?
Deep in the jungle, where nothing that lives is safe.
You lose it here, you're in a world of hurt.
Showtime, kid. Knock, knock.
An elite rescue squad.
You're bleeding, man. I ain't got time to bleed.
Is being led by the ultimate warrior.
We need the best. That's why you're here.
But now...
What's got Billy so spooked?
There's something out there waiting for us. And it ain't no man.
They're up against the ultimate enemy.
Holy Mother God.
Nothing like it has ever been on Earth before.
She says the jungle just came alive and took him.
We cannot see it.
No blood, no bodies. We hit nothing.
But it sees the heat of our bodies and the heat of our fear.
Whatever it is out there, it killed Hopper. And now it wants us.
It kills for pleasure.
He was skinned alive!
It hunts for sport.
He's killing us one at a time.
We're all gonna die.
But this time, it's picked the wrong man to hunt.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Century Fox presents Arnold Schwarzenegger. Predator. The hunt begins Friday, June 12th at theaters everywhere.
Yes.
This should be fun, man. We've Predators one we've been trying to do for a while, and we just hadn't found the spot for it. Now we got a spot for it. We strangely did Predator 2 a couple years ago. So we did them a little backwards on this one. But
that's weird.
But we're gonna I don't know why. I guess we were just did it for some reason. And so we're doing Predator next week. Anybody who probably listens to our show should be no stranger to what Predator is, and it should be a fun one to talk about and look back on next week on the show as we discuss Predator, the best of those movies for sure.
Man, just so much manliness in that movie, man. I ain't got time to bleed.
I just look back and I'm so disappointed in Shane Black and the Predator. I mean, here's a guy who's made – Shane Black has made some good films. He's even in the original Predator. How in the hell did he drop that turd of a movie a couple of years ago?
Well, I heard the first half was good.
Yeah.
The last half
– even the first half is all right. I mean, Predators was better than that, and it's not that great.
Oh, yeah. Predators was a good movie.
And but it's just like I really wonder if Shane Black... I guess maybe Shane Black has talked about it, but I just wonder how that movie did.
Studio interference is what I could
possibly think of. So, you know, because it felt like it had everything going for it, and it just did not work out, but oh well.
The only thing it was missing was Arnold.
Even his cameo would not have saved that turd, dude.
You don't think so?
No.
You would have needed full-fledged Arnold in that movie.
Maybe Arnold was too expensive.
No, it was a scheduling thing or something, and he had to back out. Or I don't remember why he had to back out of the cameo, but again, a cameo wouldn't have saved. I'm more with Matt. You need a full on Arnold's Predator sequel if you're going to do it. You know?
Yeah.
Probably all right, everybody, chill.
If it bleeds, we can.
Wrong
kill
movie,
it.
I know.
But Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
I mean, Robin might be better than the last Action Hero.
What? No.
Oh yeah.
Now I'm just trolling. But Conan is better than fucking Last Action Hero.
It's so drawn out in Conan though.
It's got titties in it at least.
Yeah, but
I mean,
Earl Jones's hair?
No, that's the second one.
No, it's the first.
Yeah, the first.
No, I thought that was the second one, James Earl Jones.
No.
The second one was the Destroyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. The second one's not very good.
No, second one sucks.
Yeah. Well, because the studio wanted a more funny PG-13 version.
Yeah.
So they tried to make it
the little kid.
Yeah.
In there.
It was like as soon as they came out with a PG-13 rating, the studio was like, "Oh, we need to make one of these with Conan." Yeah, it was. But anyway. Well, that's all we got. Thank you, as always, for listening. The RebelRadioPodcast.com for all your Rebel Radio needs. And we're on all the apps, iTunes, Google Play, all that good stuff. You can find us, iHeartRadio, Spotify. That's it. Thank you, as always, for listening. Stay safe out there. Until next week, this is Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the explorer, I guess.
Until next time, remember, as always, just go
there and do it.
I love you.